It is indeed a pleasure to be in your company today. I'm glad we have this chance to worship together. So will you join me in a moment of prayer? O God, come to us even as we present ourselves to you. And let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you, O God, want to be with us, never to leave us nor forsake us. And we are here to be in your loving service. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Well, this has been quite a week. Normandy came and went. We saw a visitation in the kingdom with our president. We had a chance to think about so much that was given 75 years ago for our sakes and for the sake of this world. So this has been quite a week. And it should occur to some of us that one of the high holy days, one of the incredible moments in the life of people of faith is Pentecost. A little bit overshadowed today by what had happened during the week, but precious to those who have been called by God to be in God's service. Now, the Christian church has had an interesting habit of borrowing things that were well known, earthy things sometimes. We got some of our hymn tunes from the pubs and set Christian words to them. We looked for ways to celebrate, and so the festival of weeks was there. And it would be no surprise to anyone that the faithful people of the Jewish faith would gather, hopefully in Jerusalem, to celebrate this great time, this great moment. And so in this time of difficulty for those who followed Christ, following resurrection, following the cross, following all that had happened to scatter them to come to an end in what they were committed to, they remembered the words of the master who said, "Get together, stay together, and I will come to you and I will give you a powerful presence that will change the world." So they gathered on a typical time for fellowship and celebration, the Festival of Weeks. 50 days from Passover, 50 days from the Christian resurrection and Easter, skipping Sundays. And so there they were. And as they gathered, things began to happen that were beyond their understanding, but welcomed as a sign of God's presence and call. And in those moments, followers became leaders. And the message which was delivered to them was something as precious as turning them out to make a difference in the world. And the message which was read in our text from the Acts of the Apostles this morning gave the promise of the one who delivered the message, Peter, who said, in these days, your young people will see visions and your old people will dream dreams. We need visionaries. We need dreamers. We need to feel and receive the presence of the powerful, loving world changer. Well, the disciples who became apostles went out into the world and did a phenomenal thing of changing all we understand about what it means to have God with us. Many theologians have thought about what is the most important theological idea that has come to those who believe. And I rather side with those who have decided that the most powerful thing we could come to understand is this thing called the incarnation. God with us. How amazing it is, how powerful it is that God has chosen to be with us. And that is, after all, the bottom line. That is the point when we come to this Pentecost Sunday. It's about God being with us. In my early pastoral days, a few years back, I regularly read the commentaries and insights of Lloyd Ogilvie, whom some of you know. Lloyd Ogilvie reflected what it meant to be a part of this receiving of God's grace, this wonderful coming of God's Spirit to be with us. And he reflected this idea. He said, many of us never really experience the coming of God's presence in power because we've never been out on a limb to need it. When I come to Pentecost Sunday, I think about that a lot. I sometimes wonder, have I risked enough? Have I been willing to answer a call that is rather quiet and subtle? What does it mean to follow our Lord in service and to drift from follower to leader? Well, as we think about what it means to be a part of Pentecost Sunday, I would like us to personalize it in the world in which we live, in the world in which we abide. And it would be helpful to me and perhaps to you to take a look at what it means, not for these disciples whom we have so admired to be a part of a transforming act of God, but what would it be like for us, for ordinary people, to enter into a life-changing experience of God's presence in our lives through God's Spirit. I've been rather taken by the transformation of a commentator and a writer named David Brooks. Have you read any of his stuff? His last couple of books were on how to build character. Rather remarkable work. And I began to wonder as I listened to his commentary, what's going on with this guy? He doesn't sound like the David Brooks I used to read. Well, his latest book is called A Second Mountain. And in that book, he describes what it has been like for the last 5 years to be in the valley of despair, to be suffering in a kind of a separation from his sense of his confidence and what he has been created to do. Went through a difficult divorce after many years of marriage and shifted from building a career and building his own, as he would call it, egocentric activity to begin to think about others and how he might contribute to their lives. And so the first mountain is about establishing oneself in career and family and philosophy and faith and in the company of others. And then he says, there's a second mountain. And when you turn to that second agenda, that's when you begin to see others in a new way. You begin to think about your gifts that have been given on behalf of others who very much need your presence and your care. And so for the last several years, David Brooks has been spending his time wandering around the country looking for signs of transformation, where ordinary people are giving of themselves to others in transforming ways and making a difference. I don't have the time to give you a book report today, and I hope this doesn't sound like one. I guess that's okay. But Brooks talks about a group that began to gather from kids who had no place to go when they left school. And so some kids from a healthy family took them home. And they began to gather around a table, and that became a gathering point that was rather transforming for those people. By the time Brooks got to the front door, he was greeted by those who had had no future and who now have a future because of the love of a table of good food, good conversation, and acceptance and care. Brooks said, I stuck out my hand to shake their hand, and the young man said, we don't shake here, we hug. And so they hugged him, and he came in, and he has tried to be at that dinner table every Thursday when he's in town. Well, he has described many other moments where individuals have done loving things. And he says, when you choose to do the loving thing, you add another thread to the fabric of human survival and development and care. And when you choose to do the uncaring thing, you pull a thread out, and it slowly slips away. And the fabric of care becomes quite something else. I thought about my experiences with Pentecost and the people I have met through these years who have been simple, loving caregivers. And some of you would fit into that category over and over again because of the choices you have made to follow your Lord, to do the loving thing. There's a guy named James Craig who grew up in a town so small it has not made the Central Indiana map yet. And it never will because there's nothing there anymore. Two crossroads and not even a stoplight, just signs, you know, all four ways, stop. James Craig went into World War II and became a decorated war hero, was fortunate enough to be able to return to his home and began to establish family, several businesses, and became a real leader in the small community of Central Indiana. I met Jim Craig pretty late in his life when he was retired from all that busyness. And one day he said to me, you know what I'm doing these days? I'm volunteering at the hospital. He says, I greet people when they come in. Sometimes my assignment is to take them up to their rooms. Sometimes it is to take them from room to lab. Sometimes it is to take them to the front door and put them in their cars and send them on their way. And then he said this, this is the most meaningful, transforming work I have ever done. War hero. Decorated. By the way, good Quaker. Imagine that. The most meaningful work I've ever done. And I'm convinced that what he is saying is, in these caring moments, I have experienced what it's like to send good wishes and loving affirmations to those who are in a needy point in their lives. When I come to this Acts 2 message, I think about this language thing. Do you think about that? What does it mean for people from all different languages to hear and understand? Well, I've always thought the miracle is in the understanding, not in the speaking, in the understanding. And I think about a member of my family. Forgive me for being a little personal, but he's the rascal of our family. The youngest of our family is my brother Bob, who should remain nameless, of course. Bob spent 30 years as a missionary in Africa. About 30 years. When he first got there, he had barely survived college Spanish. 3 or 4 months of language school and off to Mbadi in Tanzania, and he was teaching in Swahili. I had a couple of occasions to go visit with him when he was in Kenya, and I saw this wonderful young African gentleman coming out of the post office where we'd stopped to pick up Bob's mail, and he came out and he was rolling in laughter. I mean, he was physically rolling in laughter. And my brother followed him out kind of chuckling. And I said, "What's with him?" And my brother said, "I told him a joke." Do you get the cultural significance of telling a joke in Swahili when you could barely pass college Spanish? It's sort of a gift of bold communication that a teacher acquires when on assignment. Something, in my view, has happened to make it possible for that rascal brother of mine, you know, the one who is still a rascal, best athlete in the family, math major in college, and there he is telling jokes in a language that was at his service to teach in Swahili. Well, I'm not here to brag about my family, though I don't mind every once in a while. Let me turn back to Brooks for one summary of how his life is unfolding. If you read one of his books, especially the most recent one, you might conclude, as some have, that David Brooks has had a conversion. He grew up in a Jewish home. He married a Christian. She converted to Judaism and raised their children kosher. He began to reflect on the Gospels. He said, "I cannot unread Matthew." Well, this is one of the summaries, and there are several. Let me just read this one as we close together this time of message. Brooks says, "Most of us get better at living as we go. There comes a moment, which may come early or late in life, when you realize what your life is actually about. You look across your life and you review the moments when you felt more fully alive, at most your best self. They were usually moments when you were working with others in service of some ideal. That is the agency moment. That is the moment when you achieve clarity about what you should do and how you should live. That is the moment when the ego loses its grip. There is a sudden burst of energy that comes with freedom from the self-centered ego. Life becomes more driven and more gift. That is the moment when life comes to a point." So what's the point of Pentecost? It is the point that God is with us. In the darkness of our days, in the long length of our passage from this life to the next, that God is with us. When we live miserably and when we live boldly, God has come for us. And he transforms our understanding that even in the cultural stresses we all experience, if we drove here today, in the cultural expressions of our desire to be faithful, God is with us. And if you will pardon the cultural reflection, it's as though we have with us Oprah who's saying, you get his love, and 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 you can give it away. You can share it. You can transform others, and you will be transformed by the gift of Pentecost. Let it be so. Amen.